Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2007. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner, located at booth 408 on the Java 1 Pavilion floor, including mini talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and I'm sorry for the late start. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties with our monitor, and we're going to have to do this first talk in a somewhat abbreviated fashion without the monitor, and I apologize for that. But thank you, anyway, for turning out at the third day of the Java.net Community Corner. Without further ado, I would like to hand off to Edgar Silva and his friend Morris, who are going to be talking about open source business model and opportunities. Take it away, Edgar.
Hi, good morning. I'm Edgar Silva. I'm Brazilian. I'll be speaking with my friend Maurício Leal. I don't know how to pronounce your name in the English version. And how to pronounce? Maurice. I think it's good. It's funny because I work for Red Hat in Brazil, and Maurício, we put here that he's looking for a job. Basically, what you talked for you today, it's open source 2.0 and the new business model and the new opportunities and the lessons that you have learned in Brazil. Okay. So, Maurício has introduced me. I think it's good to introduce yourself.
Hello. Okay, thank you very much for this great audience, and I hope you're expecting more people.
Yes.
All right. My name is Maurice Leo. My current status is totally unemployed because I asked people to come to, I asked for my former employee to come to Java 1, and he says, no, we can't. And I try once, and I try twice, and say, okay, I'm leaving the company, but I will attend Java 1 because the Java 1 is great. It's a great conference to attend, and I hope you're looking forward to seeing more people next year right here.
Okay. So let's go ahead and basically, our agenda for this morning is to talk about open source in the past, open source nowadays, open source in the future, and most of the lessons that you have learned in Brazil and our business that you have there. And I think it's a good, we have a good tricks about our country to share with you this morning.
Yeah, tell me one thing, is how is Brazil going, and how was the open source in the past?
In the past, it's very interesting because open source in the past basically was very strong only in universities and in researching projects. You know, on that time, I think it's 97, 98 was, you know, just a promise. I think that I was in university yet, and then it was very funny because you could be a radical, you can be a new guy, you know, because it was very funny to talk bad things about Microsoft and the Windows. It was funny for us younger on that time. You know, and it was very interesting to talk about with a very important companies working for internet stuff was very famous. So, but in the past, was very hard to handle open source stuff because big companies was very easy to find out a big rejection.
Right.
You know.
So most of open source was right in university, and people just playing along, right?
Yes, exactly. Right. And then, but it means the developers had a very big adoption, but big companies was very hard to understand how open source could be very, very interesting and valuable to that kind of companies, you know. So corporate view and enterprise view was really limited, and because everybody asked, if problems happens, who may I call? Or where is the responsible for if some problem happens in my company? So that was the point that I had 10 years ago in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And now, for example, I would like to ask you, Maurício, how can you see the open source issues nowadays in Brazil, even because we went to the Fizzly in Porto Alegre?
I'm sure everybody will be real surprised when you go over and see how the Brazilians manage with the open source. Those people we were talking in the past were really students. Today, they're now like officially employees of the companies, and they're working out the open source in their companies today. And the things got spread out so much that if you take a taxi cab and you talk to a driver, you're going to notice that some taxi cab drivers, they know all about, they know something about Linux. Of course, they don't know anything in details. They know go through all these tall procedures. Then you talk about the waiters. You talk really regular people, not exactly technical. And they know and hear about what is open source, and they know what is how we can deliver and good things are open source.
So you mean that I can hang out in the Porto Alegre with a Linux t-shirt and the girls...
And people will spot you. People will spot you, and you're going to notice, say, hey, I know where it is. Like, of course, I'm trying to help my mother try to understand the difference between Linux and download it, but I will get there. I will get there.
So it's funny. Well, and talking about open source nowadays in Brazil, we will be facing in the real new business model. So it's interesting because as you are Brazilians, a lot of people ask us, but man, it's true that everything in Brazil is really open source. So how it's possible to do business there? So first of all, now the kind of to do business there, when you try to sell a license, it's not a good deal to do that, you know. So we are trying to find out a way to buy a license.
Yeah. And this is something really hard for Brazilians to understand, which is really normal here in the United States. It's people make a lot of money by licensed products.
And selling.
This doesn't happen in Brazil. Brazil doesn't really understand the concept of license. But you have to sell some kind of services based some kind of product you already have. That's I think this is one of the key points to make work in Brazil.
Yeah, for example, in the past, worked for Poland in the past, so you have a very big market in Delphi. But the number of the licenses that we sold in the past was very, very little if you compare with the number of licenses, unlicensed, that you had in Brazil.
That's,
you know?
Right. And I remember that 2 years ago, the government, they gave like a big push. Like, they spent like almost a year and a half writing like a great book of open source for the Brazilian government.
Yeah.
Meaning that if you want a supplier, if you're a vendor, if you want to sell a product for any agency in the Brazilian government, it doesn't matter how big the agency or it's big one, it's small one, you have to follow the rules of open source. If it's not open source, you won't sell. And that's what's pretty much like a bigger for we at Java developers. Because Java wasn't open source. And since it got like open source, every Brazilian, and especially government, they got so excited about it.
Right. And so you can ask, but how it's possible any company do business in Brazil? So actually, we are doing in Brazil, it's we're trying to provide services instead to sell license. So if you have an application server or a very good product, we're not trying to sell license. We're trying to sell services and try to aggregate value to our customers. So, but you can ask why this scenario is really relevant in Brazil. Basically, the government companies motivate the business focusing on services, and not necessarily they buy just services, but they can obtain products. But they are really interested to participate, to help, you know, to and really receive aggregate value. So
yeah.
it's very important for example, a company such as Cepro or a federal bank such as Banco do Brasil or Caixa to participate, you know, of the what is going on in the software industry in all over the world. Mm-hmm. You know,
and I believe that the government really understands the concept that when you evolve in open source, you not only provide like kind of some kind of like service to the community, but also you're creating more jobs.
Exactly.
So it's pretty much like a social issue when you Brazil like enforces open source in the entire country.
So Mauricio, it's a good point. So as you can see, we're trying to do a very big effort in researching in Brazil, and I think it's not good only for Brazil, but I think it's every emerging country, you know, related to economic stuff, is a good deal to do. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, totally agree. Like, I see a couple countries, especially, I have some experience in countries in Latin America, and countries that don't have much budgets to buy software, proprietary software, but they can download or can have like the free CDs on open source software, and they can work around and can make provide some kind of business to the government, to their government.
Oh, great, great. So that's why some private companies are moving to this kind of business. So it's not so hard. You find out in Brazil companies, very big players switching to that model. But and as you can see, even here at Java One, you have heard a very good announcement that we think that we are pushing a new times in the how to do and how to deliver software.
Totally. You know?
So that's why you can say about this business model you call in Brazil open source tutorial or manage open source, right? So. But it's a good point to pay attention. It's not only, okay, my software, it's free, you know, because you have a different matters. For example, Google and the Yahoo and the Flick and the Licious are free software, but they are not open source, you know. So there, we have a very big difference in how to deliver this kind of solutions. So not necessarily you have to deliver your source, you know, but to handle this kind of issue, it's a really good point to do, you know. For example, the Google engine is not open source, you know. So, but they deliver a free solutions, mm-hmm. you know. So it's a good point to do this kind of stuff. I mean that,
It's always a good point because when you have open source, you have also like a share of ideas, and these ideas is not only. It doesn't hold only in Brazil, but you can share with all over the world, and I'm sure like by the end everybody, it's a win-win game.
Yeah, and do manage open source doesn't mean that you get a coup of a project and you can deliver in a box. Okay, now for example, imagine that I create a Java company now and I deliver services in Chile, for example. And then I get some application server, an IDE, and maybe, I don't know, a database and things like that. And I put all together and deliver as a closed box. And okay, but I try to aggregate some value, just writing new codes and to integrate that stuff all together. Okay, now I can just sell this kind of stuff. We have some companies doing this kind of business, not only in Brazil, but in other countries. And in my humble opinion, it's not a good deal to do. You know, I think the companies are not interested in to buy stuff and, I sell your license and I forget that it will exist. You know, they intend to, they don't want to buy just license. They want to see you as a partner trying to support you in everything that you're trying to do now on the future. So, a good point when you try to see things related to integrate some open source projects, at least is the experience we have in Brazil, mm-hmm. is to try to see the compatibility between license. Because you have open source stuff, but you have a license. For example, Apache license is not so compatible with...
Sometimes we have to struggle with the all different licenses,
yeah.
And how we can put everything together, which is a kind of challenge.
You know, this is a good point. It's a good thing that you have to pay attention every time. For example, LGPL is not, it's a product, it's open source stuff, but it's not, you can't use something Apache or depends on the license, not so compatible. So you have to pay attention in such things like that. Open source in the future is a good question. I'd like to ask you, my friend Mauricio, what you think about open source in the future, not only from Brazil, but as I know your wife lives in Russia, so I think you know very two interesting business and the countries, you know. So what do you think about this?
I hope it get more, I hope it spread out and people get involved more with open source as I have today. Brazil is like booming. The like business is booming, and average people is getting attention to the open source and how can use it. That And I really hope that in future, everyone in all countries can use open source and can see all the benefits of it. I'm sure Java developers are here seeing all the benefits that we can get, like in short term, maybe long term too. But I'm looking forward to see the next Java one. I'm pretty sure that we're going to see all plenty new service and innovations coming up like a tidal wave.
Great. Well, the thing that I can say about the future in the open source, it's very important because the industry are changing every day, you know. So countries such as not only Brazil, but like I met people from Panama, for example, and they have very important issues about open source stuff and how to promote and how to improve, you know, themselves to do this kind of stuff. So that's why I think that this podcast will be very interesting for not only for Brazilians, because I think that we are listening an open source sphere. You are some steps forward, you know, because we began this process a long time ago in Brazil. But I think it's a very useful to all the countries and the emerging countries with not only technological stuff but economical stuff to try to work and to handle this kind of stuff. I'm very happy because now Sun, Red Hat, IBM, HP, most of very big companies, they are supporting this kind of stuff. And now, as you can see now, open Java is completely open source product, and you can do most of things you to protect your money and your future and your in fact independent stuff that you can do right now. Okay, so I think that our time it's almost
gone. Your time is over. I thank you for you guys for showing up in our
big audience.
Thank you very much, and great to be here.
Oh, Marisa, I'd like to that you can take your email, because as you told in the beginning, you are looking for a job.
All right, and if somebody is hiring me, like, I need a job.
To work in Russia, China.
Yeah, all the BRIC
Brazil.
Companies. Thank you so much.
Edgar Morris, thank you very much. Sorry about the slides in this presentation. If you guys will upload your slides to the wiki, we can make them available to anybody who gets this talk from the podcast.
Okay.
Anyway, we are running a little bit late, but next up will be the interview with Brian Bellendorf, and we'll get that started in a few minutes. Thank you very much.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner Podcast. Check out more mini talks from Java 1 2007 at today.java.net/pub/ct/Java 1 Community Corner, or subscribe to our feed with iTunes.